The Gospel of Luke, chapter 13, with a word of wisdom from our Father in Jesus' name, verse 1. There were present at that season some that told Jesus of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. Now, this was a historical event that you can find written of in Truth Magazine, volume 20, in this article entitled An Analysis of Luke, chapter 13, verses 1 through 5, by Lewis Willis. And it says it was in this explosive atmosphere that Pilate proposed building a water conduit in Jerusalem to replace the old system, which no longer served the needs of the city. He sought and received the sanction of the Jewish authorities for this modernization program, the so-called Jewish authorities, the scribes and Pharisees, but he made one miscalculation. As the temple was to be benefited, he naturally thought that he might defray the expense from its treasury, forgetting that the money was Corban, or consecrated to God. When word of his intention spread like wildfire through the city, a frantic cry rose that the temple was to be plundered by the Romans. Thousands stormed the palace to repeat the tactics of Caesarea, but Pilate had time to make ready for the mob on this occasion. He had scattered soldiers, dressed as Jews, pretending to be Jews, interesting, throughout the mob. As soon as the tumultuous cries began, the soldiers rose up against the Jews, Iudas in the Greek, which can mean either a resident of Judea or one that's actually from the tribe of Judah, and left many of them lying in the streets, severely wounded. The very precincts of the temple were invaded by the legionaries, and some pilgrims were so poor that they were slain their own sacrifices, were struck down, their blood mingling with that of the beast that they were preparing for the priests, which may explain why it says in Luke chapter 13, verse 1, that Pilate had mingled their blood with their sacrifices. It was an unprecedented outrage, and it filled every Jewish heart with wild indignation. The excitement even penetrated the palace of Herod, kindling bitter feelings toward Pilate, for those pilgrims Pilate had killed were Herod's Galilean subjects. And this makes sense as well. As Bullinger points out in the Companion Bible, this is probably the cause of the enmity of Luke chapter 23, verse 12, the enmity between Pilate and Herod. So that would explain that, possibly. It was that massacre of the Galileans that the Lord was asked about in Luke 13. Some conjecture that it was shortly after this, when the work on the water conduit had almost reached the pool of Siloam, that the tower there fell and killed 18 men. So to continue with Luke chapter 13 and verse 2, "And Jesus answering said unto them, Suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans, because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish," spiritually speaking, with the example being given with the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And if you look at it in the future sense, Satan will kill a third spiritually and a third of the world are Christian, taking away the daily sacrifice and setting up the abomination of desolation, which is Satan appearing as the false Christ. The daily sacrifices in Christianity are sacrifices of love, daily prayer and repentance and righteous acts. That'll be taken away whenever they begin to worship the devil, because it's only through the true Christ that you have access to the Father. He who has not the Son has not the Father, as it's written in the epistles of John. Or those 18, which is 6 plus 6 plus 6, upon whom the tower of Siloam fell and slew them. They were in the wrong place at the wrong time, but they serve as an example. At the sixth seal, the sixth trumpet, and the sixth vial, you add that up, you get 18, which is bondage in biblical numerics. They'll die spiritually. So here you have an example of that. "Think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwell in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish," ultimately in the lake of fire, if you don't get your act together during the millennium, if you're one of those who are deceived and don't take part in the first resurrection at the seventh trumpet, when the true Christ returns at the seventh trumpet, the seventh vial, and within the time frame of the seventh seal, after that half hour you can read of in Revelation chapter 8, verse 1. In other words, Christ doesn't return until 777. The false Christ, the abomination of desolation, appears in Jerusalem at the sixth seal, the sixth trumpet, and the sixth vial, 666. "He spake also this parable, a certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well, but if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. And so it was, Christ's ministry being for a 3 year period, after which he was crucified, and then salvation was offered to those who brought about his crucifixion in Acts chapter 3. But on a national level, they did not accept Christ, and so the fig tree was cut down, being replanted in 1948. But when his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer, which is harvest time, the end of the world is near. It's not going to bear fruit, though, because they're not a Christian nation. It's the Kenite nation. And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. You think that's a clue as to what he's really talking about with this parable of the fig tree in Luke chapter 13? The goat fig is the Kenite nation, the synagogue of Satan, who claim to be Judah, but are not, and do lie. They're the Kenites, the sons of Cain. And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, which is bondage in biblical numerics, and was bowed together and could in no wise lift herself up. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, There are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them therefore come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. So which family tree do you think this ruler of the synagogue was from? The tree of the knowledge of good and evil, or the tree of life? There's only 2 trees, and you're on one tree or the other. The tree of life, if you be a Christian, it has natural branches, which are the tribes of Israel, from which Christ came, Abraham's seed, the many-membered body of Christ, or you're on the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It has natural branches as well, the Kenites and those grafted in through deception or from choosing to be a part of it on purpose. You're on one tree or the other. There's no in-between. So this ruler of the synagogue says there are 6 days in which men ought to work, 6 being Satan's number. That's when he appears as the false Christ to his own children, and they will endorse him as the Messiah. In them, therefore, come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day, the 7th day. The Lord then answered him and said, Thou hypocrite! Doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall, and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, that 6 times 3, 3 sixes make up 18, bondage in biblical numerics, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day, Christ being our Sabbath? Sabbath means rest, and Christ became our Sabbath, so if you be a Christian, you have that peace of mind, knowing the truth of God's word. And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. Then said he, Unto what is the kingdom of God like, and whereunto shall I resemble it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and cast into his garden, and it grew and waxed a great tree. I repeat, a great tree. And the fowls of the air lodged in the branches of it. The fowls of the air, many times in our Father's word, being symbolic of Satan's evil spirits, the spirits of the fallen angels. And again he said, Whereunto shall I liken the kingdom of God? It is like leaven. Remember what the leaven is symbolic of: deception, the traditions of men, the hypocrisy of the Pharisees, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. That's the negative interpretation of this, but there's a positive as well. And we saw that earlier with the parable of the sower. It starts with a seed of truth, and if God causes it to grow, then it grows into a massive library of knowledge, a wealth of knowledge, whereby you're not deceived and you can help people and bring forth good fruit for the kingdom of God. And when he went through the cities and villages teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem, he's heading toward Jerusalem now to pay the price for one and all time, so that whosoever believes upon him should not perish in the lake of fire, but should have everlasting life, going up into the third world age, which is the eternity. Then said one unto him, Lord, Are there few that be saved? And he said unto him, strive to enter in at the straight gate. That means to contend with an enemy. If they say to you, Christ is here or there, believe them not during the hour of temptation, but wait for the true Christ to return and stay in the word. Don't listen to man. Man will deceive you, not even meaning to. That's all he's good for. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in into the straight gate, into the kingdom of God, and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up at the seventh trumpet and has shut to the door, when ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open up unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are. Then shall ye begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. Why would they think that Jesus had taught in their streets? Because they thought that Satan was Jesus whenever he appeared at the sixth trumpet. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. And they shall come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south, and shall sit down in the kingdom of God, which will be on earth at that time, when the true Christ returns at the seventh trumpet. And behold, there are last which shall be first, and there are first which shall be last. The same day there came certain of the Pharisees, saying unto him, get thee out and depart hence, for Herod will kill thee. And he said unto them, go ye and tell that fox, behold, I cast out devils, and I do cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I shall be perfected. Nevertheless, I must walk today and tomorrow and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet perish out of Jerusalem. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and ye would not. They rejected Christ in his first advent. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate, Jerusalem being the geographic location where Satan shall appear as the Antichrist, the desolator, the abomination of desolation. And verily I say unto you, ye shall not see me until the time come when ye shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord.